Chapter 7. Compassion. Early the next morning, Cornelius Van Bell was taken for trial. The officers testified that they had found a white envelope containing letters between the De Witts and King Louis XIV in his house. He was accused of being part of a conspiracy against his country, the same imaginary conspiracy that had led to the De Witts' bitter end. Van Bell insisted over and over again that he had no political interests and no knowledge of the content of the letters. He explained that his uncle had given them to him for safekeeping, but had never mentioned their contents. But the judges had already decided against Van Bell. They convicted him of being a traitor, a political activist who worked against his country. Van Bell was sentenced to death by beheading and then taken back to his prison cell to await his punishment at noon that day. It was 10 o'clock. Van Bell sat in his cell and looked around him in a dreamlike state. He couldn't believe this was happening to him. Just a few days ago, he was growing tulips at home in Dordrecht, and now he was going to be beheaded in less than 2 hours. How could this happen? And yet, it was happening. Van Bell knew that he didn't have much time left, and there were still some things he cared about. A plan began to form in his head. He started to write his last will and testament on the second page of the Bible. If only he had known that the missing first page of the same Bible, still wrapped around his tulips, had his uncle's message on it, which could prove his innocence and save his life. At 10:15, Rosa came to his cell crying. She had heard about his sentence and was devastated. Van Bell tried to comfort her, for he was a kind person, able to sympathise with others even in a time like this, when he was facing a terrible death. "Sweet Rosa, don't cry," he said. "Don't be sad for me. I've had a very good life. And if you allow me my last wish, I'll die happy. Rosa, my dream was to grow a beautiful black tulip and win the first prize at the Harlem Flower Society contest." Then he added, looking into Rosa's beautiful eyes, "That was my biggest dream, before I knew there was something more wonderful than tulips to love. Now my dream is dead, and I want you to have my black tulip." Van Bell gave Rosa the three bulbs, wrapped in the note, which he had hidden in his cell. He explained to her how to plant, grow, and cultivate the bulbs in order to produce the black tulip and claim the first prize. "I'm giving you full rights to claim and keep the prize money. And if anybody questions it, I've put it here in writing," he said, and read out his will. "I, Van Bell, am giving my most precious possessions, three bulbs of the black tulip, to Rosa Grifus. If I win the Harlem Flower Society contest, the 100,000 florins prize money will belong to her. She should use it to live a happy life and marry a nice young man." Then Van Bell took Rosa's hand and said, "If you follow my instructions exactly, these bulbs will grow into the most beautiful black tulips, and I'm certain you'll win first prize. Use the money to live your life happily, my Rosa. This is your chance to have a better life, away from this prison. Marry a nice young man who'll love you, and who you'll love in return." These kind words only made Rosa cry more. "How can I marry the man I love? I love you, and you're being executed today," she said. There was nothing more to say. The two young people sat together, hand in hand, silently comforting each other and waiting for the inevitable, the unavoidable, terrible end. At 11:45, two soldiers came to take Van Bell to the place of execution. There was a big crowd waiting to watch the execution with the same bloodthirsty enthusiasm as the De Witts murderers. But the most enthusiastic man in the crowd was Boxtel, who was pushing his way to the front row. He had followed Van Bell to The Hague after his arrest and had tried different ways of getting the bulbs. At first he had made friends with Grifus, and tried to get information about the location of the bulbs, but he soon realized that Grifos knew nothing. Next, he tried to work through Rosa. He asked her if the prisoner had some flower bulbs with him and insinuated that if she brought them to him, he would pay her well. Rosa loyally denied any knowledge of any bulbs. If you want to purchase any of the prisoner's belongings, you must speak to the executioner, as he alone will become the heir of the prisoner's belongings, she told him. So Boxtel's next stop was the executioner. He paid him 100 florins in return for the executioner's promise to give him the prisoner's belongings after the execution. Now he couldn't wait. Those bulbs would soon be his. Van Bell's head was on the scaffold, and he was waiting for the sharp blade of the sword to send him to heaven. Then a miracle happened. The sword did not descend. He heard voices talking above his head, and the sword was put away. The reason for this miracle was that Prince William had decided to show some compassion and spare the prisoner's life. Because like most people, the prince was capable of evil, but also of doing good. Perhaps he regretted his part in the brutal murder of the De Witt brothers. Fortunately for Van Berle, on that day, his good side prevailed. The prince ordered that the prisoner's life be spared and he be moved to another prison. Obviously, since the prisoner was still alive, his possessions were clearly still his. This was terrible news for Boxtel. He was furious at having paid the executioner in advance and receiving nothing. Now which prison will he be taken to, thought Boxtel. If I lose Van Bell now, I'll lose the tulips. I'll wait and follow them when they take Van Bell to his new prison. Maybe I can climb on the back of the carriage without being seen. Sometime later, a guard from Buitenhof prison drove a carriage from the place of execution to a secret destination. Inside the carriage was Cornelius Van Bell. Boxtel started to pursue it, but tripped over a stone and fell, injuring his knee. Lying on the street with a bleeding leg, he watched the carriage drive away, carrying his enemy, the three bulbs, and Boxtel's hope of creating a black tulip. Van Bell was taken to a prison called Leverstein and locked in a cell by himself. Nobody knew where he was, and he felt more alone than ever before. There was nothing for him to do all day, and his life became meaningless, almost. There were two things Van Bell loved more than his life, a girl and a flower. Both now seemed lost to him forever. But he was wrong, because despite all his recent misfortune, or maybe because of it, God had decided to give Van Bell another chance.